Thing we think we understand, we learn that it breaks the rules.
That's Dr. Jennifer Rausch, a researcher at UMass Amherst, talking about tau. I won't be able to give you a clean answer on what this protein is and how it misfolds in PSP and CBD, because even the researchers who have spent their entire careers studying tau will say that the more they learn, the more questions they have about it. What I can tell you is that everyone has tau in their brain. It's when it misfolds that PSP and CBD develop. In this episode, we're going to try to understand the basics, like what tau is doing in a healthy brain and what changes when someone develops PSP or CBD. Joining me for that is Dr. Jennifer Brummett, CurePSP's Director of Scientific Affairs and Partnerships. And later, we'll cover the largest annual tau research gathering in the world, the Tau Global Conference, where I talk with researchers about the questions still keeping them up at night and the progress that has them excited anyway. Starting with what tau is actually supposed to do, this is how Jennifer explained it to me.
Tau is a protein that's found in all human brains. It serves an important function in neurons, which are the key nerve cells in the brain. And what tau does there is it stabilizes microtubules, which are sometimes called like the skeleton of the nerve cell. So they help neurons maintain their distinct long, skinny shape. You've ever seen one. They have a round part on one end and then a skinny part that tails off that will eventually connect to other cells in the brain. So microtubules help them keep that shape. And the microtubules also serve as tracks that are used to transport molecules or nutrients or other things from one end of the neuron to the other end.
So tau acts like scaffolding, helping neurons keep their shape and their internal delivery system running smoothly. But that's not what happens for people with PSP or CBD.
So in brains without a neurodegenerative disease, tau normally goes through a degradation cycle where it's broken down and it's removed or recycled out of the system. But in brains with tauopathies like PSP and CBD or other neurodegenerative diseases, the tau protein will start to change its shape and it will stick to itself in what researchers call tangles. And the tau isn't degraded in the same way it would be in a brain without PSP or CBD, so it will begin to accumulate.
That's why PSP and CBD are called primary tauopathies. Tau buildup is thought to be one of the main drivers of what's going wrong in the brain.
It's not necessarily a downstream effect or a side effect. It's really thought to be the driving dysfunction and the driving cause.
So that's the basic picture. Tau misfolds, clumps together, and builds up. But it gets complicated because tau doesn't misbehave in the same way in every person, or even every disease. This is Dr. Rausch again.
Tau has an ability to shapeshift. It has an ability to amend itself to different contexts. And so we think that we have a lot to learn still. If you can talk about an aspect of biology, we think that tau can probably be involved in it as well.
In that sense, tau is a moving target, and understanding it takes a global network of researchers studying the same protein from completely different angles and comparing notes. That's what brought hundreds of them together this past May at the Tau Global Conference, co-hosted by CurePSP, the Rainwater Charitable Foundation, and the Alzheimer's Association. In Washington, D.C., about 400 people showed up in person, and almost 800 more joined virtually. Continuing a tradition that began last year, and as you may remember from episode 1, people living with PSP and CBD, and the families who care for them, played a central role in the conference. CurePSP CEO Dr. Christoph Diaz opened by reminding researchers why their work matters in the first place. He shared stories from families affected by PSP and CBD, including one care partner whose ability to communicate with their loved one had been reduced to just a couple words at a time. Neck, pillow. Diaz called that loss of connection crushing. With a reminder of what was at stake, the conference turned to the science. Researchers began tackling some of the biggest unanswered questions about tau, including one Dr. Rausch has spent years trying to answer. Why does tau build up in certain parts of the brain, but not others?
Is it something about tau itself? Is it something about the cellular environment? The cell types in particular, I think, is a really interesting question that we don't exactly have a handle on yet.
Dr. Gabor Kovacs, a researcher at the University of Toronto, is chasing a related question. not just where tau builds up, but why it seems to get there through completely different paths in different people.
I'm very interested whether there are different etiological events leading to the same tau pathology that I see under the microscope. It seems that we start to identify a few of these, like inflammation in some patients, or vessel-related changes in other patients, or potentially environmental events that can induce the same.
Dr. Kovacs is saying that two people can end up with the exact same tau damage in their brain, but get there from completely different starting points. For one person, it might be inflammation. For another, it could be something going wrong with blood vessels in the brain. That matters because it means a treatment that works for one person's version of the disease might not work for someone else's. Which is part of the reason why one of the biggest goals in the field right now is something that sounds a lot more basic than a cure, a diagnosis. There are currently no definitive tests for PSP or CBD. Dr. Edwin Jabari, a researcher at University College London, walk me through why that's been so hard to build.
If we're going back 5 to 10 years, the main focus was on detecting various phosphotau epitopes in blood and CSF. And that's really transformed the way we diagnose Alzheimer's, for example. And there was a lot of hope that that would translate to how we diagnose PSP and CBD. But to date, we've not really had a robust enough phosphotau epitope that was specific for PSP and CBD that we can, you know, roll it out as a diagnostic test.
Essentially, the tool that revolutionized Alzheimer's diagnosis doesn't work here. Tau folds differently in PSP and CBD, so researchers haven't had a reliable way to catch it in something simple, like a spinal fluid sample. That may finally be changing. Dr. Jabari and his team have been developing a seed amplification assay, a test designed to detect the earliest traces of disease-specific tau.
And it looks like these might be the first ever diagnostic biomarkers for the primary tauopathies. So we're mainly focusing in CSF, and collaborators in Toronto are developing a skin-based assay as well. Okay.
It's hard to overstate what this would mean for families. Right now, people with PSP are far too often misdiagnosed for years, usually as Parkinson's, before receiving the right diagnosis. Those are critical years that could end up mattering if a treatment ever becomes available. Which brings us to the treatment that everyone at this conference was talking about. The PRESERVE study, a phase 3 clinical trial from Novartis, is testing a drug called NIO-752. It's designed to lower tau levels in people with PSP, and in earlier phases, that's exactly what it's done.
The million-dollar, trillion-dollar question is whether that then translates into a clinical benefit, so we're all really excited about that.
Lowering tau in a lab sample is one thing. Actually slowing the disease down for a real person is another, and that's what the study is built to find out. I also asked Dr. Glenn Harris, a director at the Rainwater Charitable Foundation, why a phase 3 trial, specifically for PSP, is such a big deal. Drug companies don't take this step lightly.
PSP has been often overlooked for tau therapeutics, and we see that in the pipeline. Alzheimer's disease obviously is far more prevalent in the world. It's easier to recruit from. You have a lot more patients. You could likely build a better business case around it because of that patient size. But in the case of the Novartis ASO, it's just a really strong hypothesis with supporting data that has gotten it to this place. You know, it's been demonstrated to be safe in PSP patients so far. It's had trending the right direction of the biomarkers of which has been shared publicly. So it's de-risked it to the point where very large company is making the investment to launch a phase 3. And that is unbelievable. For the field.
Regardless of the outcome, the trial marks an historic step where a major pharmaceutical company looked at a disease most people have never heard of and decided it was worth betting on. That kind of investment is part of why the mood at this year's conference felt different.
The energy level was very high. There was a lot of enthusiasm. For the first time in years, the conversation shifted from, can we slow this down, to how quickly can we get these tools into the clinician hands.
So how have we made it this far? The simplest answer is that a lot of very smart people got together in the same room. It's the type of open, collaborative spirit that the Rainwater Foundation used to launch the Tauopathy Challenge Workshop back in 2023. Each year, Rainwater picks one specific unsolved problem in tauopathy research, questions that don't tend to get solved by one lab working alone. So each year, researchers submit ideas built around that one topic, and a small group, usually around 12, get invited to a confidential day-and-a-half workshop to pitch those ideas to each other.
New ideas are fragile. You're really putting yourself out there as a scientist when You want to propose something bold and daring. And so we try to make it a good environment where those ideas can be shared. That doesn't mean that they can't be criticized, but that's what makes the scientific process so great, is that's what we're supposed to do.
The sustained commitment behind these meetings means progress can accelerate exponentially.
You know, one-off grants are brief sparks, but these types of partnerships can create bonfires.
Everyone working towards a cure knows that there's no time to waste. Dr. Mauro Malpetti, researcher at the University of Cambridge, put it plainly.
And the hope is just to try, basically to find something that works and very quickly, because this is an urgent problem. So we don't want to fix the problem in 10 years' time, but actually much quicker.
That urgency is what researchers are taking to their labs now, and we'll bring it back to the table this November in London at Neuro 2026, the PSP and CBD International Research Symposium, hosted by Cure PSP and the PSP Association. We at Cure PSP will be there covering it, so stay tuned this fall. Thank you to all of the amazing minds in the field that are helping make sense of a protein that we still have so much to learn from. If you're interested in getting involved, we keep an updated list of opportunities on our website, with clinical trials, our genetics program, brain tissue donation, and more. The link is in the episode description. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Oscar Sullivan. Talk to you soon.